Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of James, True Faith. In this session, we'll be looking at James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, Faith, Praise for the Sick. Before we get into James, let's go back to the Old Testament and look at the book of 2 Chronicles. In chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, and verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars. And if you drop down to verse 12, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. The king relied on himself and others, not the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 2, the third part of it says, you do not have because you do not ask. How should Christians respond to serious illness? Our text for this session, James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, is helpful with five steps for handling sickness. Let's read those verses, and then we'll go back and take a look at each of these five steps. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So let's look at these five steps for handling sickness from James' letter here in chapter 5. First, be under the spiritual protection of a local church. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The context of this instruction is the local church. The person is a part of it. The members are called to care for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. There should be no schism in the church, in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're encouraged to pray for one another. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So first, be under the spiritual protection of a local church. Second, call for the elders of the church. And let me put out here several questions to ask in that regard. We talk about calling for the elders of the church. First of all, who is to call for the elders? It says, let him call, the one who's sick. What types of sickness are referred to? Well, The Greek word translated for sick is asthenēo, which refers to all types. It could be mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. And that word, asthenēo, referring to all types of sicknesses, is used 36 times from Matthew to James. Why call for the elders? Well, it's a demonstration of looking first to God for healing. When should the person call for the elders? Well, before medical treatment for serious illness, unless emergency care is needed. Obviously, if emergency care is needed, that needs to be treated first before calling for the elders to pray for that illness. What if the person is not able to call for the elders? Well, a family member should call them. Remember the Shunammite women, the Canaanite nobleman, Jairus. Someone else called for Jesus, called for the leader to come to bring healing. What if the elders are not qualified? Well, call them anyway. It's about the position. Listen, Eli's children were not under control when he prayed for Hannah. Maybe the call will prompt some self-examination in their life. So, call for the elders of the church. And third, confess faults and sins. And here's three questions to ask with that regard. Confessing faults and sins. Who should confess faults and sins? Well, the one calling for prayer. Parents? Well, look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. The elders? Well, yeah. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Why should sin be confessed? Well, remember, if one member suffers, all members suffer. Remember Achan's sin at Jericho? Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And let me now, and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me." In the Lord's Supper, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Well, who should confess? Why should sin be confessed? And when should confession of sin take place? Well, before anointing with oil and praying. Remove any hindrance. This is a call for transparency. And then fourth, understand the prayer of faith. It's not just a blind leap or twisting God's arm. Faith is knowing God's will and seeking it. James chapter 2, verses 24 down to verse 26. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There are essentially three types of sickness recorded in Scripture. Sickness to death, sickness to chastisement, and sickness to God's glory. Sickness unto death. Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years, yet Their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Listen, there is a sickness which will end in death, because every life eventually is going to end. Hebrews 9:27 speaks to it. It is appointed to men to die once, but after this to judgment. Jesus spoke about this when he was talking in reference to Lazarus, when Lazarus was in the tomb. In John chapter 11 and verse 4, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." So some sicknesses will result in death. But there's another type of sickness in Scripture, which is a sickness unto chastisement. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 down to verse 32, when we're talking about the Lord's Supper, the context of observing the Lord's Supper. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." So there is a sickness that's not to death, but it's for chastisement because of sin. Because of, in this case, taking the Lord's Supper without having dealt with sin in our lives. Well, let me ask you, is there unconfessed sin in your life that you need to deal with? And then the third, there's in Scripture, there's sickness under God's glory. So there is sickness to death because everyone dies, and so some sickness brings us to that death. There's sickness to chastisement as God deals with us about sin that we haven't dealt with. And then there's a sickness to God's glory. And of course, Lazarus, in John 11, verse 4, which we refer to, but and the man born blind in John chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither that this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him." This is for God's glory. It's for people to see God's glory in this situation. God is glorified in other ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul, in dealing with the thorn in the flesh that God allowed to come to him, this messenger of Satan, he prayed three times that it be taken away. And God's answer to Paul when he prayed for it to be taken away, praying three separate times, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So if there's sickness, we need to call for prayer. There are also three types of sickness. Sickness unto death, because this is the way that God has planned for us to leave this life. There's sickness for chastisement for sin that's not dealt with. And there's sickness for God's glory. God allows circumstances at times to be for him to bring glory to himself. You give all this some thought, and you have a great day.